Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzzed Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are going to be covering season 3, episode 5 of Bridgerton.
Oh my god.
Tick tock.
Tick tock, tick tock. Oh my goodness. We were so anticipating this. And just to give context, we got up at 5 in the morning.
We did, because I had work and other stuff after work, and it was just a lot.
So we could watch it together, which was actually fun. So, and then
it was fun but tiring.
It was. And then we did a rewatch last night so that we would be prepared to record today, because there is a lot to process, especially toward the end of the season. But this episode is going to be fun, I think. So we have our usual caveats and disclaimers, because we have those today. And those include that there will be cursing. There will be spoilers, probably.
There will be.
And we are having things to drink. Why are you having to drink, Natalie?
Well, first of all, also there's spoilers for the books. But yes, I am drinking what I'm calling a sweet tart. It's Prosecco and raspberry puree, and it's really good.
Yeah. I'm actually three-fisting, if that's possible, which it really isn't. But yeah, I have coffee because it's that time of day. I have water because we always need more hydration. But the thing that I am having to drink from a Buzzed Binging standpoint is called An Accomplished Swoon. In this Regency book of drinks, it is meant to be a big punch bowl. So I had to kind of break it down and do some math and probably fudged it, but that's okay. It is basically the way I did it: 2 ounces of gin, 1 ounce of raspberry syrup, 1.5 ounces of lemon juice, and ice cold seltzer. The actual punch recipe calls for a teaspoon of rose water, which I didn't have. So, but it's a lovely drink and it tastes really good. I was kind of surprised. It's not super gin heavy, despite the fact that there's a bunch of gin in it. And it's reminded me that I don't hate gin at the same level that I hate a lot of other straight alcohols. So, very pleased.
So let's get into season 3, episode 5, Tick Tock. Penelope is writing a column about the engagement. During this voiceover, you see in slow motion Colin bringing her out of the carriage and taking her into the house, and his family, Hyacinth and the Gregory, are up in their pajamas. Gregory looks like Scrooge. And they're all like gathered together, and you just see Colin in slow motion go, "We're engaged!"
And
that's
this,
no precursor to that, nothing, just "we're engaged."
Well, I mean, from her perspective, it's almost like she's underwater, and then after he says "we're engaged" and the family starts reacting, it just becomes real. And Hyacinth, of course, is like the most enthusiastic and excited.
They've known the family have known her for so long, and so it feels right. And
yeah,
they're all very, very happy, except for Eloise. Eloise is pissed. And
well,
so
Gregory's a little bit pissed because he's like, "I want to go to a tavern with you, Colin." And it's like, "Nope,
I didn't want you to get married, Colin."
Yeah.
But whatever. But yeah, Eloise is just like, "Excuse me," and she leaves the room. And Penelope is like, I've got this. I'm going to talk to her." And Eloise is pissed because, well, first of all, she thinks that she had no idea that Penelope had feelings for Colin, which is absolute bullshit.
That is insane. How could you have gone this long?
It's ridiculous. And also, the more valid reason, and not to say that you can't be upset that your former best friend is engaged to your brother, you can be a little bit perplexed by it, but don't make that your main motivation. She has a better argument of, "Does he know your Lady Whistledown?" And Penelope's like, "No, but please don't tell him."
Well, as she points out, Eloise does, she has good points in this. Like, hey, he's not Lord Devlin. He's going to be here. He's going to know. He's going to figure it out. And you need to tell him before anybody else does. And
I'd also like to point out that this conversation is happening right outside the open door to the like living room where the family's still there. And they do this a lot in this, especially in this part of the season. First it was the carriage where you could clearly hear everything that was going on in there. And now you have this bullshit of like, you should be able to hear what's happening.
Exactly.
And she Eloise literally in almost full voice being like, "Does he know your Lady Whistledown?" I'm like, okay.
Eloise is quiet anyway. I mean, but you know, Penelope like gets teary, kind of like, "Please just let me be the one to tell him. I promise I'll do it." And you know, obviously we're all a little skeptical. But in any case,
Colin comes out, and he's confident that things are going to be fine.
Because he doesn't know any better.
Right, but Penelope's like, oh, it's a great time for the happy couple. But she's crying when she's writing it. So we then have Benedict.
Well, first of all, they switch up the intro a bit, where it's like, instead of just the tree standing in the sun, it's like storming. Storm clouds.
Oh, yeah. No, and they've done that before, but it's not a frequent thing. And it comes up twice in the second half.
But in weird parts of the season, but whatever. I feel like they just should have had it for the entire second part or something. Mm. Sorry, go ahead.
So people start finding out through the Whistledown column, and one of the people is Benedict, who is in bed with his woman. And for whatever reason, despite the fact that they're actually in the act, somebody must have come in and put Whistledown on her bedside table. So they start reading it. I found that detail like super weird.
Like, thinking they like brought in some tea or something while they were asleep
from
the night before, and then they woke up and initiated something again, and
whatever. So, Benedict's mouth just like drops open. The Featherington sisters spew their tea. Lady Danbury and her brother discuss it. Queen Charlotte is unhappy about Francesca, but she knows something is up. Like she gets a clue, because Lady Whistledown doesn't say anything about, you know, the queen in discussing Francesca being in love. And she's like, being too nice about this. This seems strange. Antony and Kate arrive, in the carriage before they get out. They're talking about how Kate is pregnant, which is lovely, and they're just so cute.
They're just adorable.
Benedict then shows up at the house around the time Antony and Kate arrive, and they're all kind of like, hey, where have you been? He's like, out for a walk. Hyacinth thinks of Gregory as the family pet. I just love the asides. It's the sibling dynamic that we love so much about this show, and we get a little bit of it from Hyacinth about Gregory. Eloise is ranting about Penelope to Cressida, but Cressida's kind of like, look, I understand you're upset about this, but I have been betrothed to some super old dude, and I am really, really just beside myself. This is just terrible. And Cressida tries to make the best of it. She tries to, you know, like kind of
look
put
on
a good
face
on it, but as we will see through the rest of the season, it does not get better. Antony demands an explanation for, this is so cute. So the boys, the bros, and we love them. Aside from Gregory, because Gregory is not part of this, he's not all enough.
Well, they, I think that there's a line. There's a line later on. Of Antony being like, I think us brothers need to discuss things, and they walk off, and Gregory's like, well, I'm a bro, and then Hyacinth's like, you're the family pet.
Yeah, exactly. you're not. But Antony and Benedict and Colin are talking about, hey, this is kind of rushed. What's up with this? And Antony's kind of like, so you need to get married sooner because of things. And Benedict's like, wait, are you going to duel with your own brother? Because he's like sitting there like, it's the entertainment. It's just so fun. And again, we've seen that in previews, but it's just hilarious.
Colin says that it wasn't just a thunder strike, which goes against the drink that you did earlier this season, but his feelings were always really kind of there for Penelope, but it took time for him to see that.
To see what they were. And there were feelings, he just didn't have names for them.
And Antony is like, please just tell her that. Please be honest with her, which I love. I love that Antony's being like, cut the bullshit. Just tell this woman who you love how you feel.
Which, you know, Antony could have taken, and he did.
And he did,
actually, at the end of season two.
It took him a while, the last couple episodes,
but then, you know, Kate was being an idiot, so whatever.
They were both being idiots, but they're learning.
They are learning.
And they're teaching now.
And that they're one of the best parts of the second half of the season.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Portia is upset with Penelope for not telling her and choosing Colin over Lord Debling, because Lord Debling would have provided more security and is not just a fantasy like Colin is.
Colin never hears it.
Now, first, she asks if Colin told Penelope that he loves her. And when Penelope can't say that, she's like, oh, so you just, like, seduce him with your feminine wiles or whatever, and you think that's love, and you think that's whatever. And then Colin's like, hey, I proposed to Penelope because I love her, so fuck off.
Yeah, but in the conversation, she even talks about Maria. It's like, look, you know, this same boy has done this shit with someone else who was living in this house. You need to be careful of him. He's just kind of self-indulgent. It's basically the message she's trying to give
to Penelope. And Penelope, of course, loves Colin, and we've always seen him from her perspective. So, you know, we're always like, no, Colin was just being duped by Marina. And we know that. But at the same time, I can see from Portia's perspective, like,
this seems really sudden. What's up with this?
Yeah, he's kind of a flippity-jibbit when it comes to, you know, from an emotion standpoint, you know, he comes and goes, basically. So you've got to be careful with him. And Penelope's like, no, it's real. But she hasn't heard it from him, and it makes her scared.
And he proves that it is real by saying, oh yeah, no, I proposed to her because I love her, so fuck off. Yeah. And so he takes her and like takes them to their future home. And it still has like some
work to be done.
There are no servants yet. Yeah. They're figuring things out. They're going to be moving their stuff in eventually. And she thanks him for standing up for her. And he's like, I'll always stand up for you. And he tells her that he loves her. And
how amazing she is. Basically.
And everything he loves about her, like her lips and things he's dreamt of. And
he talks about her actual characteristics.
Oh,
first.
Yeah, that's first.
And then he moves on, if you know what I mean.
And the mirror scene happens, and they have sex, but
wait a minute. We're using shorthand here, because the mirror scene only makes sense to people who have read the book, and actually it's different from how it was done.
It's different, that's okay. But it's kind of close. Well, it doesn't even happen in the book. It's mentioned in the book.
Yeah.
So in the book, during their their first real big sex scene, he's like looking at her, and he's like, oh my gosh, your breasts are amazing. I love them. And at some point in the future, I want to do it in front of a mirror so I can like watch them.
Well, yeah, he wants to like hold her breasts in front of a mirror and cut them from behind. And
yeah,
he's,
do all
he's,
that stuff.
He talks about it a lot. Which he does talk like, about why it. Why do we talk about it? Why are we talking? Just do shit, which is what they do, and that makes it better. Yes.
So he undresses her, and you do see like her breasts and all that. And Nicole Coughlan is gorgeous. And I hate that anybody is talking in a negative way about her body. She's gorgeous.
She's beautiful.
People need to fuck off. And so I love that they're celebrating it. I love that they're celebrating her body. It's beautiful. And
well, she's also modest. And I think that is consistent with what
her character.
Penelope would be. Right. In that
one, one thing, there are a few things I wrote about this scene. First of all, Colin is a consent king. Before he even undresses her and they're like kissing or whatever, he's like, if you want me to stop, you tell me to stop. And she's just like, I don't want you to stop. And he's like, okay.
Let's go.
I'd also like to say this is a book accurate sex scene. Just like in the world of the books, a majority of these women are virgins. Not all of them. Francesca's not. But they're all new to
Francesca
this.
Francesca is with John, though. So
we don't see that, though.
Right.
Either way, they aren't experienced, and they don't know exactly what to do. And so seeing that through Penelope makes a lot of sense to me, because in some cases, Daphne was different. Daphne like had a little bit of an arc as far as that's concerned, whereas Kate was just like good at it. And so I'm just like, okay, like good for you, Kate. But like,
good
where did this come
but
from?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I think that some people just
get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But either way. So she is like, Okay, what do I do? And he's like, oh no, I'll do everything. And then she's like, no, I want to participate, which is very similar to her and Hyacinth's book, where they want to do something. And he's like, all right, touch me. And then she like is about to go to his penis. And he's like, no, not there yet. We're not there yet.
Yeah.
Not like we're not there yet, but like we'll save that for later.
He's not talking about like much later. He's talking about in this session. I mean, it's very clear that he's like, not yet is what he says.
Yeah,
he doesn't say like later. I mean,
I know. He wants to do that eventually. He just doesn't want to do it right this second, because I think I'm pretty sure he's about
he's
to
excited.
Explode. He makes sure she's ready, you know, if you know what I mean. And then he like stops. She's like, why did you stop? And he's just like, are you ready? And she's like, wait, there's more. It's very Prudence and Philippa, like, there's more. And then he does the full thing, and it's great and all that stuff. And it's a very sweet scene, and I like that they take. I love that it's not just a montage. Whereas we got like just Kate and Anthony and montage. And I like when there's a bit of dialogue in there. And so it's a very sweet scene. And then at the end, she's just like, okay, we can do that again, right? And he's like, give me 5 minutes. Wait, no, 10. It's very cute. And one thing that my dad mentioned while we were watching this with him is that he pointed out that in just in general, in like a lot of like HBO shows or in Bridgerton itself, you don't usually see a lot from the men. You see a lot of from the women, like breasts, all that stuff, maybe even a little bit of down there, but it's you see a lot. Whereas with the men, it's like you get some ass, which I mean, beautiful asses all around, but it's just that
And he's actually, and I will say this, I think Luke Newton lost weight for this
oh,
season.
he looks
He
fantastic.
does. He's in amazing shape.
When he, oh, his abs, oh
Yeah,
yeah.
but he's actually quite thin, which was kind of surprising to
Oh,
me.
I love that.
Well, I mean, I love it for him. I think, I mean, look, whatever he has done, he looks amazing. He's
He,
like,
it's not like he's a boxer like Simon. He just likes travel. So, I mean, I think that it's something that's consistent with a lot of shows. I'm not asking for full frontal, if I'm being honest. Like, I don't want anyone to feel uncomfortable and all that stuff, but there is a discrepancy as far as like how much is shown of each person or each gender, that kind of thing. But we'll see how things go in the future, but whatever. Anyway, so we go over to Anthony and Kate, who are cuddling. He's like cuddling her stomach because it's just adorable and I love them. And he kind of wants to start something, and Kate's like, no, we're not doing that right now. And he's like, why not? And it's Newton is just sitting there watching them. And she's like, I'm not doing it in front of Newton. And Kate says she wants to hold off on telling the family because there's so much news going around now.
So Newton, yeah, the whole
Newton's
noon thing,
watching,
yeah.
but either way, Kate wants to hold off on telling the family, and she's like, well, are you not happy about it? And she's like, no, I'm very, very happy. I just don't want to rain on anyone else's parade right now. I don't want our news to trump the news that is coming from Penelope and Colin, and maybe Francesca and John are going to do something. I don't want it to get too much. And she also has to go plan the engagement party. So we go over to Francesca and John, who are promenading and getting to know each other. And he asks if she wants to get married. And she's like, yeah, no, that's absolutely what I want to do. And it's very sweet. Then we go over to Kate, who talks to Eloise about the whole situation, and she encourages Eloise to be honest with Colin about how she's feeling about this, because like nothing's gonna get solved by just pouting about it. Like, what are you gonna do? Just glare them to death? Like, what's gonna happen there? And then we go over to Portia, who's ranting to Varley about the engagement, and Varley encourages her to talk to Penelope.
Farley's the maid.
Farley's the housekeeper.
Whatever.
And so everyone just needs to talk to everybody. And the solicitor apparently is not leaving the Featheringtons alone, and a connection to the Bridgertons might be useful.
Well, or at least that's what they're thinking. It's like, hey, maybe we can cover whatever debts or buy out the title or whatever the fuck it is that they're thinking is
I don't
going to
know what
happen.
their plan is.
It's kind of crazy. But yeah.
Penelope is there and Colin are basking after.
Oh, it's
It's
cute.
very cute. And she's like, hey, was that okay for you? I know you're more experienced, and I'm obviously not. And he's just like, there's nothing that compares to this. And it's so sweet.
It is. Yeah, I mean, they are just adorable. So Penelope tries to tell Colin at that point, but then the servants show up with stuff for the house. It's like, oh shit, we gotta like get you out of here so people don't know.
And get you dressed.
Yeah. So we cut to Queen Charlotte,
Oh,
who's
well, also, she also asked to read more of his writing. Go ahead.
we cut to Queen Charlotte, who's getting a foot massage and talking to Lady Danbury, and she's got this plan to smoke out Lady Whistledown, and it is that she has set a reward. She has heralds with trumpets. So I'm putting out the queen, a message from the queen, a message from the queen. Colin is talking about unmasking Lady Whistledown in the carriage with Penelope, and Penelope is like, she just is
You're not gonna look
refusing.
for her, right?
Right? And he also says, like, didn't you have something to tell me? And she's like, oh no,
Don't worry
that's
about
okay.
it.
Don't worry about it, because she's like got this reward thing. It's like, I honestly think that would have been the time to say it. Just freaking say it, and she didn't do it. So
I think she should have told him in that moment. I think it's unfortunate she didn't tell him before the sex, right? But you've already done it now several times. Yeah, so yeah, you need to tell him.
You're all in. Literally.
You're literally all in.
Yeah. So Cullen sits down to write, and Eloise comes in. He's back at the house, and everyone's back where they're at their respective homes. Cullen tries to talk to Eloise, and he apologizes to Eloise for having kept his love for Penelope a secret, although it was pretty short. And then he's like, look, you two were inseparable. And he describes stuff they did as kids, you know, Don Quixote and that kind of stuff. It was really cute.
Knights.
And he wants Eloise's blessing, and he also thinks that Penelope would appreciate it. He then shows Eloise Queen Charlotte's proclamation, and she's like, oh
no.
And we see that Cressida has also gotten a copy of the proclamation. And so they show her meeting with her mom and this ancient old guy. He's not as old as some of these other horrible people.
He could be worse, but he doesn't like anything that she likes. He wants to keep her away from society.
Somber dresses, no music, you know, all of that stuff.
And I also want four or five kids.
Yeah, I want four or five babies. And she's like, ah! You know, and her mom's going, like, you gotta do it, you gotta get married to somebody. We then cut to the Featheringtons, and Prudence is just being stupid about Lady Whistledown. Lady Featherington then comes in, and she defends Penelope and apologizes for having been mean to Penelope before. Mm-hmm. Lady Featherington and Penelope are the only ones who are going to be going to the engagement party that Kate's planning for them.
Because she doesn't want the sisters to ruin it for her.
Basically. Then we see the Modriches. Again, I don't care anything at all about this storyline.
Will's stressed about the bar losing money. Alice wants him to take time off.
Right. And, you know, like, oh, you need to spend more time with your family. We then see that at the engagement party, I love this, Gregory has on a top hat.
It's so funny.
It is the cutest thing.
And he's like, I'm going to Eton soon, so I might as well be prepared.
And I was just like, well, maybe your head will be able to fill that hat someday. maybe you'll get smarter. She's basically tormenting him. Gregory, then they get introduced to the young Lord of Kent, young Mondrich, and Gregory's like, oh, don't pay attention to any of this other stuff. Come see my new bow and arrow. And they're like, cool. So the three of them kind of run off to do kid things. Colin disses Lady Featherington. It's like, oh, how nice of you to be kind to me today.
What a warm greeting.
And she's kind of like, oh, yeah, this is such a great party. Where are the drinks?
Cressida also invited herself, which Penelope is kind of like, whatever, fine. And Colin's like, well, we can rub your victory in her face. And she's like, I love you. Lady Danbury is proud of Penelope, and so is Violet. It's very sweet. I love that Violet is so supportive of Penelope. Right. And one thing I wish they kept from the books, especially in like earlier seasons, and in some ways I kind of like that the way they did it, where like it didn't take him like being forced to dance with her or something, you know. Mm-hmm. So in the books, Violet would always tell her sons to go dance with the wallflower, which was usually Penelope, right. And Colin would it would usually be Penelope. And in some ways I like that Colin did it of his own accord and without his mother's interference, but I think that it would have been nice to see her push him a little bit and be like, hey, go dance with Penelope.
And one of the things we know from the books too is that Violet was a wallflower.
Yeah.
And so the fact that, you know, she was not ignored by Edmund.
She doesn't want anyone to feel ignored. Right. And I love that.
You're right. It is very sweet. And it's a good mom thing to do. It's like, be a decent boy. Damn it.
Yeah. Marcus shows up and Lady Danbury is uncomfortable. I don't care.
She's unhappy. Yeah. Cressida then is trying to talk to Eloise about, hey, I need to get out of this engagement. I have a plan. Penelope and Eloise talk. And Eloise is like, look, you have got to tell Colin tonight. If you haven't told him by midnight, I'm telling. Mm-hmm. Kate meets Benedict's Tilly. Girl. Tilly. Don't care. Really don't care.
Okay.
Francesca and John meet Anthony.
I love it.
And it's so
John's like, I've heard such great things from everybody. And Anthony's like, you clearly haven't been talking to my family.
Okay. I see how socially awkward John is. Yeah. It's really kind of, it's sweet. Cute. It's sweet, but it's also kind of like, oh boy. Violet is clearly worried. I mean, she's just worried about Francesca. Violet then goes to talk to Lady Featherington, and Colin gives a toast, and then there are a bunch of toasts. It's kind of like, no, God, please make it stop, right?
Like Colin has a really sweet toast about, like, hey, don't, if you fall off your horse, stay down so that you meet the love of your life.
Right, because that's what happened.
That's what happened to him, and it's very, very sweet, and here's to truly knowing each other forever, blah, blah, blah. Eloise is like, yes, here's to truly knowing each other before the clock runs out, the life clock that ticks for us all.
Yeah. Awkward.
And then Lady Featherington does one of like, yay, our families. Benedict says, I can't, to Tilly, I can't tell if this party needs stronger drinks or weaker ones.
Right.
Very funny.
Right. Just more of them and weaker. But at that point, Kate's like, hey, let's go play charades. Let's do something else.
Can I please?
Yes, you can.
So the way they do charades is different from like what you would traditionally think of charades.
It's the game.
From Downton Abbey.
It's
not like acting it out and you have to guess it. It's, you have like almost a riddle, like you get two clues and then like a full clue or something. It's just riddles. And so there, Penelope starts and she's like describing some kind of flower, and Anthony is super competitive and he goes, lilies, forgetting us, lilacs. It's very me. Yeah. I'm extremely,
like, stop talking.
I'm extremely competitive.
Well, we're all, hey, all of us are competitive. It's a Barker thing.
But it's very like, it's very me, especially during charades. No,
just the yelling thing.
Yeah, the yelling.
That's definitely.
Eloise and Penelope are good at the game, and
it's almost like a competition just between them.
Yeah.
And then we see that Cressida is like, she's just being outshone, and she's unhappy with it. Hyacinth and Gregory are going to teach young Mondrich chess. Both Colin and Cressida leave the game. Cressida wants to get the Lady Whistledown reward. She tells Eloise, like, I want this reward. We see that John, in a smaller group with just Violet and Francesca and Auntie, and I guess Kate, is able to tell his story. And he talks about how he'd overlooked something, but he had seen Francesca straight away, and you can see Violet softening to him. He's actually very
sweet. She sees how Francesca's looking at John, and it's with all this love, and it's very sweet.
Right, she's very caring toward him, and almost mentoring in a way. It's kind
of, she's like, if you are able to match my level of whatever, I'm going to help you bring yourself a little bit out of your shell. It's very sweet.
There's a big discussion about the Lady Whistledown reward and how vulgar she is, whatever. And you see Penelope starting to have a panic attack. Mm-hmm. She leaves the room. She goes away. She's like having breathing problems.
And Colin follows her but doesn't open the door, which is interesting.
Well, he's not 100% sure where she is, and he's not sure if he should intervene.
Blame him for this, but this is a very big thing with Colin where you see him follow her, and then he stops, and then he gives up. Like, I don't get it. Like,
I kind of do. Like,
oh, well, I get it. This time, there's another time where I don't get it.
Will I make it worse is what he's worried
about.
Oh,
sure. I'm just saying the second time this happens later on, it's weird that he doesn't fall
it's
through.
Fine. It's fine.
Anyway, so, yeah.
So she comes back into the room. Kate and Anthony go to share their news.
To Violet and Lady Denver.
And they're all ecstatic. At the same time, Cressida is announcing that she is Lady Whistledown. And Colin basically is kind of like, is looking at Penelope, and Penelope's like, I can't breathe.
Penelope was going up to Colin, and it strikes midnight, And Penelope's like, oh God, I have to tell you, I have to tell you. It's almost like she's Cinderella and has like a, or something, and has like a curse that's going to be active at midnight. It's how she's acting, which I kind of love. It's very dramatic. And
Very
she's just like,
Cinderella.
I have to tell you, no, I have to tell you. And Eloise comes up to tell him, but he can tell that she's having a panic, and Penelope's having a panic attack and sends her for a cold towel. Meanwhile, Cressida is like, I'm Lady Whistledown. Tis
And
I.
there we are. There is an accomplished swoon because
Penelope
Penelope swoons.
faints. The
And that's the end of the episode. What were your best parts of this episode?
sex.
Yeah.
Colin standing up for Penelope to Portia, the family's reaction to the engagement, Anthony and Kate, the bros, and John.
Yeah, so my best parts were Colin and Penelope just within the relationship. Like
Yeah.
the external factors, I don't really love that much. The sex, I think, is great. The general drama of, hey, we're gonna move into this Lady Whistledown era. I love Hyacinth in this episode because I just love Hyacinth.
I
She's
do love
so sweet, and
Hyacinth.
she's like the best bridge of all of the
Best bridge.
Bridgertons. John warming up, and of course the bros, because we're gonna miss the
We love the
bros. I
bros.
love the bros so much. So what were your worst parts?
Eloise being upset. I'm fine with her being upset about her not knowing about, like, him not knowing about Lady Whistledown. That's totally fine and valid. Her being like, well, you love my brother? It's like, you need to get over that.
Yeah.
It's sorry, but it's not in your control.
Right.
Portia for being like, well, you seduced him with your feminine wiles and he
Oh,
doesn't
I
love
forgot to
you.
put
It's
her
like,
down
whoa,
again.
okay. Penelope not telling Colin. I'm just like, girl, you know you're gonna have to tell him eventually. I understand being swept up in the moment the night you get engaged, but
Yeah.
you need to tell him.
Right.
And Cressida.
Yeah, Cressida is terrible. I agree. I had Eloise. I added, and because you mentioned them, Lady Featherington and Penelope Secret, but I also had the Lorridge that Cressida is engaged to.
Oh yeah,
Oh
he
my God,
sucks.
he's terrible. So what grade did you give this episode?
I gave it an A.
I give it an A minus.
I really liked it.
I really like this episode too, and
I love the
I think
drama it sets up.
this may be the highest grade I have in the second half. So we'll see. It's just kind of a thing, which is not to say there isn't a lot to talk about or unpack about these other episodes. It's
There is.
just that I really loved a lot about this episode, and if my comments didn't reflect that, I apologize because I
No,
think
that's
this is
fine.
a really great episode, and it is in many ways very true to the book. I didn't mention, and I wanted to, for book people, the scene with Colin and Penelope is on a chaise longue. Which I honestly was starting to think,
Yeah.
is this the couch scene from Benedict's book? And
It's similar.
does this mean we're not gonna get the couch scene from Benedict's book? Because that's one of the better sex scenes from Benedict's book, and I'm
It is.
pissed.
What I was thinking was that instead of them like doing the chaise longue, they're going to make the lake scene, if you know, you know, from Benedict's book, turn that into a sex scene, maybe.
Full sex, you mean?
Full sex.
Yeah.
He makes out with her, but it doesn't go all the way.
Yeah, well, we are going to discuss our predictions at the end of our discussion of episode 8, which we are going to have a lot to say because I can tell
I
you right now, I got a lot to say.
one thing I will say before we even get to that episode, and if you're a book person, you really know. If you're not a book person, you've probably seen it somewhere. What I'll just say, and what I'm like coming to terms with, is the fact that we will always have the books. We will
Yes,
always have those
that's
to fall
true.
back on if we ever want to experience a story the way it was meant to be in the books.
Yes.
Am I disappointed that some things aren't going to be stay the same? Oh, absolutely. Will we still always still have those books? Fuck yeah. And I will revisit
I
those
just
books
would love to
whenever
have
I
like
want.
the visuals in my head.
You
But
can
anyway, so
have plenty of visuals in your own head.
I just whatever. I was looking forward to seeing those
Oh, sure. We'll
being
talk
brought
about it
to
when we get
life.
to
But
it,
in
but
any case,
keep in mind,
we're gonna
we'll
get
always
there.
have the books.
We are 100% gonna get there, and I have things to say. So this is not the time.
No.
We are still enjoying Bridgerton season 3, and I anticipate that Bridgerton season 3 is definitely gonna be one of the better seasons that we've talked about. So I am looking forward to sharing with you episode 6. Hope that you join us, and cheers.
Cheers.